So today, as we move on in our service and we set our clock at the back, ready for our talk today, we're talking today about baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is week 9 of 12 that we'll be bringing some teaching for, and we trust that you're enjoying it. We've called this New and Empowered, and we have Esther and Andrew that will be helping us with the questions today. I want to be clear that some questions came in on Saturday, and I haven't included those because really I need the questions much before time, so I can spend as much time as possible. So if you ask questions after on Saturday, I've not included those today necessarily. But those of you that have, we've tried to interpret the questions that you've put in, and we're going to do our very best. But before we do, I asked the question about lockdown, how that has affected people. Has it drawn you closer to Jesus? Has it caused you to trust God in a different way? What does lockdown mean for you? And we shared some of those last week. So an email that we had down had sent to me says this: lockdown has challenged me in a number of ways, not least because I'm a high energy and socialite person. The maintaining of relationship has had to take on a different look, and I've had to manage the sense of guilt and frustration at not being able to spend time with the people I love and care about. It's tough. God showed me that he had a plan for me at this time, that he had prepared things for me to do at this time. He had allowed the COVID isolation to happen, but that he is with me. He got my attention. I had to recalibrate how I operate in day-to-day life. This has been a time to strengthen my relationship with the Lord, and it has been very upbuilding. During one of my daily devotions, God showed me that although Jesus is the light of the world, he also said in the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount that we are the light of the world. I meditated on this for several weeks, and God showed me more scriptures about how we impact our world like the fresh water in Ezekiel's vision that turned the salt water into fresh water. I knew that God was saying that I must not hide that light away. I needed to find opportunities to let the light shine despite my circumstances. This may look different for each of us, but for me it means phoning shut-ins, praying with them, walking with those who need a friend to encourage them, sharing worship songs and sermons to let people know I was thinking about them, allowing God's love to flow through me, and has kept me emotionally and spiritually healthy. God promises to be with us always through the difficult seasons of life that change us and shape us for the task God has called us to do, that of bringing God's kingdom to the world. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And again, if you've got something to share at home, I'd love to hear that, what's happening through to you through lockdown with your relationship with the Lord. And it's so good that you have had to recalibrate. It's good for us to recalibrate. It's good that there are times where challenges come against us. We have to think about what we do. And the good that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart and given you a plan and a strategy on how to connect with people and to love people and to be like Jesus to people. So well done for doing that. I know you won't want any self-glory, but thank you for being sensitive to God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and to be obedient, and may God richly bless you in this season in your life. So, Andrew and Esther, today is part 9 of Living the Best Life. We're discussing baptism in the Holy Spirit, of what we've entitled New and Empowered. New and Empowered. So over here, I don't know if you can see it, but I have a power bank. This is called a power bank, in case some of you don't know what it is, but it is a battery that charges my phone. Now, for illustration purposes only, and it's not the fantastic illustration, but I've tried to use it today, is I'm going to assume that this mobile phone is my life. And on my mobile phone, which is an iPhone, it should say Jesus' phone, really, because it's not all about me, but this represents my life. And on my phone, there are some apps. There are some apps that I use in my daily application. One of them is reading the Bible. And those apps could represent, in my life, if you like, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's part of my life, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit that should be working in my life. Now, as I use those apps, as I use this mobile phone, and as I use what God has for me in this phone, it will lose its charge. It will eventually lose power, and it will switch off. Now, the power bank represents the person of the Holy Spirit, that when I plug the power bank into my phone, it recharges my phone, it gives me power and enables me to continue on in my daily life. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says to Ephesians, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the power bank is like the work of the Holy Spirit that keeps filling us. And I have to keep charging my phone. I have to keep plugging it into the power bank, into the source that will recharge me. And so the purpose of the power bank today is an illustration that it illustrates the Holy Spirit, who supercharges us for living, and he enables us to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. So, Andrew, I'm going to speak to you first. If I'm talking to you about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, very briefly, what does that mean to you?
Well, I take baptism, as it would be with baptism in water, as being a one-off event. Baptism in water was to be immersed in the water, and I understand baptism in the Spirit is to be immersed in the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit that we've just mentioned from Ephesians is an ongoing being filled. So I see that as the extension of being baptized in the Spirit. I'm baptized and then I continually carry on being filled with the Spirit day by day, or as I seek that. And as Robin has said, Pastor Robin has said, it's there for power. It's to enable me to live the Christian life. I cannot do that on my own, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus within me, to actually take me through and to be like Jesus in my daily life.
Thank you.
Okay.
Esther, what does it mean to you?
Well, when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was 12, and I remember going to my parents and just simply saying, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, you go and ask the elders to lay hands on you then. And so I did. And it was like going to visit two very old men, because I was only 12. They seemed really old to me. And they laid their hands on me, and nothing really dramatic happened at all. But what I found was, after a time in my own quiet times, my Bible times with God, that I started to speak in tongues. And also I had a boldness at school to tell people that I belonged to Jesus, and I began playing my guitar and singing in all the assemblies at school. The teachers would invite me to fill the gap in their assemblies, because they didn't like taking assemblies. And so I had a lovely opportunity for the next 5 years just to sing gospel songs all the way through school. And I couldn't have done that without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That was a boldness that came from the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Esther. That's lovely. I remember when I got baptized, I was going through a very difficult time in my life as a teenager, trying to understand a few things and work things through. And my dad used to take us to different churches on a Saturday night, to different revival type services. And I remember we were really late for this service. My dad was not in a good mood. And we got to this service. It was packed. And we had to sit in separate chairs. And I ended up sitting on the stage with the main speaker. And I was not happy. Everyone was looking up on the stage. I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? And I really struggled in that. And I didn't really want to be there. But at the same time, I did. Because I knew that I needed something in my life. There was something more that I needed. And at the end of the service, the minister got up and he said, we're going to pray for a move of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you don't think you have, then we're going to pray for you. And for some reason, I found myself getting out of that chair and standing in the front, looking towards where the speaker was. And I still don't remember even how I got down the stairs. I just remember I was there. And for me, it was an interesting time, because there was a young girl who was probably about 12, obviously full of the Spirit of God. And as soon as I got there, she ran up to me and she said, "Can I pray for you?" I've never met this girl before. She's a very attractive young girl. Probably why I let her pray for me at that time. And she started to pray for me, and I felt amazing sense of God's peace, first of all, in my life. The first thing I felt was, because I was quite troubled over some stuff, the first thing that happened was I just felt peace. And then she said, "Why don't you just start to worship God now? I love to sing." And I started to sing. And she said, "Start singing in a different language." And I started to sing. I opened my mouth. And, you know, if you want to speak in tongues, and I'm not saying speaking in tongues is the only thing you want to do. It's one of the things. Is you have to open your mouth and let noise come out. And I started to do that, and I started to sing in a new language, and God just did something special for me. So much so that, and I do it now, my wife will tell you, that wherever I am, I start singing. If I'm in the sea, I'll sing at the top of my voice. At that point in time, I used to have a horse, and I used to go horse riding across the fields, and I would sing at the top of my voice and worship God and sing in a new language. But for me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was so precious. It gave me more than just speaking in tongues. It gave me a peace in my life, and it gave me a sense of purpose. So I remember that at a very young age. So if you feel you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to encourage you later on just to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and to minister to you. Okay, so we had a couple of questions that we asked. We asked you through the Survey Monkey. What was one thing that stood out in the study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we had some responses, and these are some of them. The fact is, the fact that it's a gift which will help us become like Christ. And we get this gift by praising and worshipping and having a relationship with our Lord and Saviour. And of course, it's all about our relationship, our upward relationship with God the Father. And you know, if we've got a hunger for more, if there's something you need more in your life of God, you know, God has given you that hunger. And he will give us everything that we need to become like Jesus. And praise and worship is part of that. And I love to praise and worship. You probably would agree with me with that, Esther? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Very loud. Very loud in the car.
Yeah. Okay, so second comment. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness and self-control. And we're going to look at those subjects later on after Easter. We're going to do something similar today to what we're doing. We'll look at those. But it's true, the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit, or Holy Spirit enables the fruit in our lives to develop and grow. If there's one fruit, Andrew.
Fruit.
One of the fruit that you would ask God for right now today, if you would say, and we're going off script now because I just feel I should just do this just for you. But if there was one fruit of the Spirit that you would ask God for today, something you realise in your season in life you would like to see more of, what would that be?
I think I was asked this recently, and I said self-control, but right now, it varies from time to time, doesn't it? And so I'd probably ask for greater love at this moment of time. It's easy, in one sense, with lockdown, have been to become more and more isolated. And I think actually being up front with people and being close to people, you perhaps love them more. Perhaps sometimes being close, means you don't love them more. But I just feel right at the moment I could do with loving people a little bit more. I was a bit challenged by that in the week, to be honest. The Lord just dropped something into my heart about loving people who still don't know him, and you're concerned about the people you love. And so I'm just saying, Lord, I could probably do with loving a little bit more at the moment. So
yeah.
I'll ask the Lord to keep growing that within me.
Yeah. And the fruit of the Spirit is not just we choose one and we think, oh, we'll like that one. all the fruit should be seen in our life and at different times. So there are times when we do need to love people more, especially when they perhaps behave in a way that we don't particularly want to love them, but we allow and ask the Holy Spirit to help us love them in that time.
Yes, I think the reality is, of course, is that you can't actually really pick and choose with the fruits of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is within you, then the fruit is being grown within you, the same as you get apples from apple trees. If you've got the Spirit within you, then the fruit of the Spirit will grow. It's probably true that because the Lord is the Lord, he will give you excess of one to another at any particular time, but in general terms, all of the fruits are growing within you all of the time, and we're looking for more and more of that. That's as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, as it says, we put away the things of the flesh and take on the things of the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is more and more manifest within us. But we shouldn't get that mixed up with the gifts, of course. No. The gifts are for the outside, and the fruit is for our own personal lives.
Yeah. Years ago, I would have asked for patience. I wanted to be a doctor, but I had no patience. That was a joke. Okay. So Rachel's just groaning there, I think, looking at me. Give me that look. The lack of understanding can make people unsure of baptism. And I've done a bit of a response to this because I thought I needed to spend a bit more time just with that statement. But over the centuries, since the early church, there's been a lot of teaching that said that the Holy Spirit was only for the first century church. It was only for those disciples in those days, and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit necessarily, or more so the gifts and the fruits, aren't for the church today. And as such, there's been a lack of teaching over centuries on the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's been more of a focus on Jesus and more of the Father and very little on the Holy Spirit. And when there isn't clear teaching and balanced teaching on the Holy Spirit, it leads to a lack of understanding. It leads to misunderstanding. Over this century that we are living in, over the last just over 100 years, in the UK and the world, they've witnessed a great resurgence of interest in the Holy Spirit. So when the Ealing Pentecostal Church started over a century ago, they had a real desire to understand and to know the person of the Holy Spirit and to be used by the person of the Holy Spirit. And there was a fresh move of the Spirit of God in their life. The UK and other parts of the world experienced a fresh, what you might call, outpouring of God's Spirit. And in the 50s, there was a full gospel men's meeting, and they focused for quite a while on individual baptism in the Holy Spirit. They continued to teach, which wasn't popular with some of the churches that they came from, that the Holy Spirit was real. The Holy Spirit was for today as much as it was for the early disciples, the early church, and that every person, every believer should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that led to a sharp division in the denominations, where some people wanted it and some people didn't want it, and some people didn't understand it, and there was confusion. In fact, speaking in tongues, people really did not like that manifestation, if you like, or the outpouring of the work of the Holy Spirit with people speaking in tongues. And some churches, some denominations asked the people in the church that were Spirit-filled, that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, to leave because they didn't believe it was from. However, what came out of this fresh move of the Holy Spirit in the UK was a greater desire, and in the Welsh revival, for example, a fresh understanding that God existed, and that as God existed, they wanted to put their lives right with God. So the move and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened in the UK and abroad caused people to know that there was a God and wanted to put their lives right with them. And by inviting God in, the Holy Spirit did some amazing works. And we experienced in our nation, and some of the nations abroad have experienced some amazing moves of God as the baptism of the Holy Spirit has happened. And millions of people, millions in this century, have realized that there is a God and put their lives right with him. Why do we need teaching on the Holy Spirit? It's to bring clarity and understand on who the Holy Spirit is. And that's what we're trying to do today, bring some clarity. We need to clearly understand and experience for ourselves that through baptism in the Holy Spirit, God, what he does, he gives himself to us. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is about God giving himself to us. He works in our body. Our body becomes a very temple of the living God, the very place where God now lives. He doesn't live in a building. Church isn't about a building where God lives and God comes and God goes. God now has a new temple that he lives in. He dwells within each of us. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he comes and fills us with himself. And he equips us and to serve and gives us gifts. He directs our ministry and he anoints us with power. And you and I today have this abundance, I'll use this word abundance, an abundant measure of God's presence within us. This is for all of God's family, for every person. No person is excluded from the Spirit of God. The day you give your life to Jesus, he lives within you. And then from that, he just blesses us with gifts, and he blesses us with his presence, and he blesses us with the fruit growing in our lives and blesses other people. And the good thing, you know, it's not just contained to Oasis Christian Centre. It's not just contained to the Ealing Pentecostal churches. It's contained to his people, his church, which is multi-denominational, and it's all over the world, so it's for everyone. And what the Holy Spirit does, and why we need the baptism, is he conforms us into the image of Jesus, to be like Jesus. He draws us away from sin. He shows us what isn't right. And he makes us new and empowers us to live in this time before Jesus returns. He enables us to live before Jesus returns. And he gives us hope. So hopefully that helps a little bit extra with some extra teaching there. Last question. The message given by the Holy Spirit is to obey the words of Christ and God and have to practice the words he gives to you. Thank you for sharing those. So question two, is there any question you would like to ask? So the first question was, how will I know if I'm ready for baptism of the Holy Spirit? And that's your question, Andrew. How will I know if I'm ready for baptism of the Holy Spirit?
You won't know, in the sense that something just comes on, you know. It isn't like you reach a particular point. Anybody can be baptized in the Spirit at any time. It's to do with desire. If you have a desire to do it, then it's ready. It's ready for you. Let me just, this isn't to do with baptism in the Spirit, but just as a small illustration. My mother, when I was about 12, 13, asked me, would I like to take communion? And I said, well, I don't really mind if I do or I don't. And she just said, you're not ready. And that's the reality of it. It's to do with that desire. And to be baptized in the Spirit, you it's like saying, Lord, I want this. Please baptize me in your Spirit. That's really all it needs.
So it's nothing to be frightened of.
Not at all.
God gives us good gifts, to look forward to, and something to eagerly desire.
Yes, and I think that it's not actually to do with seeking gifts. I'm not wanting to encourage people to seek gifts in that sense. What we're doing is we're seeking the Lord. Hmm. We're saying, Lord, I want more of you.
Yeah.
And I want more of you in a breadth that I haven't had before. Yeah. And so fill me with your Spirit. I might be half filled, but I want to be completely filled. Mm. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, so we want to encourage you today, eagerly desire the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, and all the other things that he has for you will come in place at God's right time. Second question is, I've been baptized as a child and had confirmation in 1986. I feel the Holy Spirit working within me. So do I still need to be baptized? I was with the Church of England. I often get low mood, anxiety, depression, but no, I am being helped through since being confirmed. Haven't been able to openly brim with faith or confidence, but people say I'm kind and caring. So does this mean it would make a difference if I was baptized again? I have loved Jesus since a young child, and my dad bought me a book, Jesus the Friend. I've always felt I could feel him around me then. Esther, over to you.
That's quite a long question.
It's a big question.
And also, it's not entirely clear whether the person asking the question is saying, do I need to be baptized in water again? Or do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit again? So I'm going to try and cover both bases and bring some clarity. If you were in the Church of England Church and you were christened as a baby or confirmed, then that's something that happens in childhood, and quite often you grow older and make your own choices as you get older whether you want to continue in that faith. And parents will christen their children either into the Catholic Church or into the Church of England Church, and then when the child's older they may go through confirmation. And my understanding, if I've got this correct, is that the confirmation course lasts about 6 months. It's not unlike what we've been going through with our discipleship course here. But obviously it goes on for longer, and it covers subjects like the Beatitudes, Old Testament script, New Testament script, Trinity, which we've touched on as well. And so the idea of confirmation is to take that person who's either already a Christian deeper in their walk with God, and so that they understand more about their salvation and the things of God. Or if they don't know Jesus, then hopefully by the end of that course they will know Jesus. And so if you're asking the question, do I need to be baptized again in water? My answer is, the choice is yours. It's, if you have that desire to follow Jesus in that way, the choice is very much yours. There's no pressure. I have a best friend that I grew up with. She's an Anglican minister, and she had her little girl christened as a baby, baptized with water as a baby. But that little girl grew up and decided she wanted to go through water of baptism by full immersion the way we do, which isn't generally the norm in the Anglican Church, but she chose to do that, and that was quite okay and acceptable. So if there's a hindrance there for you, you're thinking, well, I was baptized as a baby, can I now be baptized by full immersion? The choice is very much yours, and that is okay. If you was inspired by Paulina and Adam's testimonies last week, you may want to go through the waters of baptism. If the question is, do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again? I would say, yes, go for it. You know, when you get saved, and it's a little bit like being a brand new car, sat on the drive, all shiny with potential to go, but no petrol in the tank. And, you know, when we get born again, our spirits, which were dead to the Holy Spirit, our spirit, which was not alive to Christ, comes alive. And now we've got that connection, our spirit and the Holy Spirit. We've got that connection. But we can experience a fresh outpouring of the Spirit in a deeper way, a baptism in the Holy Spirit after conversion as well. And that's like putting petrol in the tank, if you like, and gives us power for living. The person that asked this question went on to say that they often suffer from low mood and anxiety and depression, but they also experience the Spirit of God helping them through this. And I would say, you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit is an absolute wonderful antidote for depression. It might be that if you're listening at the moment, you want to talk about that further, because depression is a big subject, isn't it, Robin, in itself? And there may be other things going on in your life. You may actually need to see a doctor. You may have low vitamin D or an underactive thyroid. All sorts of things can be causing depression. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit can really help you. I know I had an experience many years ago where I'd been praying with somebody, and the spirit of joy just came on me, and I began to laugh, and I felt stupid, and I put the lid on it. And a few months later, I felt really depressed and really low, and I'm saying, God, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so depressed? And he reminded me of how I'd really rejected that spirit of joy. And I just repented. I said, Lord, I'm really sorry. And a few weeks went by, and we found ourselves at a pastor's conference. And one person after another at the end of this one service, it was NLT leaders, actually, just kept coming and placing their hands on my head. And the power of God was just coming on me. I'd hit the floor and I'd get back up again. I'd hit the floor, I'd get back up again. And then somebody just came and prophesied over me about Esther, not knowing my name was Esther. And the spirit of joy just came on me, and I began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And the word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it really does lift us out of depression. And poor Robin, he had to like drag me out of there because I was so drunk in the spirit. I've never been drunk on alcohol. I don't know what it's like to be drunk, praise God. But just like they said to the disciples in the New Testament, they said, you know, these men are drunk. I was just like that. Robin had to drag me out. And I just went to bed laughing that night and woke up with no hangover. And so, yeah, be filled with the Spirit. It's a wonderful antidote to depression.
Yeah, thank you, Esther. I remember that very, very well. Thank you. Yeah, I remember that time. It was fun. Yeah. You know, sometimes people don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because sometimes people act differently. Sometimes people can laugh, sometimes people can cry, and we think, I don't want to do either of those things. But you know, the Holy Spirit knows what's best for us in our life, and he knows how to heal us from within. And you know, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes, quite often, God heals us or starts a healing process. And sometimes we can laugh and cry. I went to Toronto with Esther 1 year, and there were all kinds of things happening in Toronto. And I thought, some of those things I don't understand. Now, I don't have to understand everything. We don't need to know everything that's going on with God. But I remember this guy was speaking, and to be honest, what he was speaking about, I wasn't really interested. I didn't think it was very good. But I became aware of somebody laughing, and I thought, how rude. This guy is doing his best to speak, and someone is laughing. And then I became aware that everyone was looking at me, and it was me that was laughing. And it was the most bizarre thing that happened to me. But I have to say to you, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And actually, Esther and I could tell you of what was happening in our lives at that time. And God just wanted to give me something to cope with life. So don't be afraid of what God wants to give you. He will give you the best for your life. And if it means you laugh, and when we get back to here, we pray there'll be plenty to laugh about. It might be that you cry because sometimes you've bottled stuff up and God just wants to release that. But yeah. Good, but I'll remember that day well, Esther, and we look forward to days ahead where God will move and touch people's lives and give them everything that they need. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Is it wrong to partake in communion in a church where you did not get baptized? Do you need to be baptized to take part in communion? Can I just say that when you become a Christian, you become a part of God's whole family. That means that your brothers and sisters, Anglicans, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, all kind of people that are in the family. So you can have communion with any brother or sister in Christ. It doesn't have to be. You can only have it in your own church. And if you are, you're doing something wrong. Jesus says, do this whenever in remembrance of me. So whenever you're with other brothers and sisters, you can take communion. You can take communion at any place, because you feel that this is something we want to do. You could be on an aeroplane traveling. You could be in a conference. You could be visiting somebody in their house and say, why don't we do communion together? No, you can have it, communion, wherever you want, because it's about two or three gathering in the name of Jesus and remembering what he says. Do you need to be baptized to partake in communion? Again, I think the question was about water baptism, but it could be baptism in the Holy Spirit. The day you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. That gives you the right, if you like, to have communion. From the very moment you give your life to Jesus, you can take communion. You don't have to wait for something special other than salvation to happen. If you take communion, you don't know Jesus, you're not really understanding what communion is about, because it's about relationship and that you now know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So, no, you don't have to wait to be baptised either in water or the Holy Spirit to take communion. Hopefully that helps. Andrew, is there anything else you'd like to add to encourage people today? Is there anything you'd like to bring?
Yeah, I've got a small illustration, perhaps, from what you've just said, Robin, that when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's a bit like being thrown into the ocean when the Lord is the ocean and you're a bottle, and you're in Christ. But the interesting thing is you bob up and down. But once the water goes into the bottle as well, the bottle sinks, and then only Jesus is seen. And I see baptism very much like that, in an ongoing way, that I don't want to be bobbing up and down so people see Jesus and me. I want just Jesus to be seen. So let the water fill the bottle. The water fill the bottle. Can I carry on? What other thing? Esther mentioned a spirit of joy. Now, it's interesting we use those words, because we're suddenly putting a name on the Holy Spirit, joy. Now, earlier we were talking about the teaching, as lack of teaching. In Revelation, it says very clearly that there are seven spirits of God. Now, that doesn't mean to say there are seven separate spirits, but what it means is that there's one spirit, but there are seven manifestations of the same spirit. And I would just encourage those of you who want to go ahead and look at this more and want more teaching, just look it up in a concordance where it says in the Bible, the spirit of something. You'll find there's a spirit of grace, a spirit of peace, and a spirit of sonship. There's lots of different things that of manifestations that can fill you with the Spirit of God in lots of different ways, which will empower you in different ways. So I would encourage people to do that.
Esther, is there anything you want to add?
No, just really go for it. You know, if you have a desire to be filled with the Spirit, then seek after him. And he so longs to fill us more probably than we long to be filled. And he wants to give us power.
Okay. Sorry, Andrew.
I was just wondering whether there was time to pray that.
Yeah, there's time to pray. Yep, when the red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing in the sea, we see Robin.
Absolutely.
I want to see more.
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus in my life, and people to see Jesus. Pastor Rachel, I know we're a bit cramped for space, but could you just play something in the background for us? We're going to invite you now to invite the precious person of the Holy Spirit into your life again. Doesn't matter whether you've been filled before, how many times you've been filled. We just want more of the Holy Spirit. And so let's raise our hands where we are. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. We don't just want you, we need you.
Yes, Lord.
We need fresh oil today. Father, as a child reaches out to a parent with their arms outstretched, Father, we ask, we seek, we knock. You said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We come again. And Lord, we don't seek the gifts, we seek the giver.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
We seek the giver. Where we've misunderstood, not understood the person of the Spirit, we pray for revelation to come now. Where we've been frightened that when the Spirit of God moves upon us, we may act in a certain way. We come against that fear in Jesus' name. When we think about a heavenly language that God gives us, and we might be fearful about opening our mouth and the noise coming out. We pray, Father, we'd start to open our mouth and to worship, and a new heavenly language would come. But it's not about just speaking in tongues. Thank it's you, about, Lord, you now filling us, supercharging us. As this lockdown comes down, Father, we want to be supercharged now. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you, just come.
Come, Lord.
Come now. Fill us afresh.
Yes, Lord.
Pour out your spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've just felt a real wave of the Spirit come across here, and we're obviously not here in the building, and I take it that Spirit has just been released right across the people who are watching. And I pray that breath of Spirit that you would just move over the people now, that you would fill them again, Lord. Whether you've been filled or not in the past, it doesn't matter. Be filled again in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, give more, I pray. Give more. Breathe into people's lives, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and if you're in a room with somebody today, and maybe they're just struggling with that, and you aren't, but you've had a freedom of baptism in the Holy Spirit, and why don't you just take the hand and just start praying with them now, and just just inviting the Holy Spirit to come minister to them, enable them. Just be free now, and if you speak in tongues, just speak in tongues, and encourage them to do the same, and open their mouth, and let the sound come out now in the room. And I'm just starting to see people in the room now just taking hold of somebody and just start praying. Don't be embarrassed. We've got nothing to be embarrassed. This is a beautiful gift that God has given us, and we're just inviting him to come. Yeah, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Come now, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill us again, Holy Spirit.
Wash and breathe.
Oh, move again, Holy Spirit.
Innermost being, Lord, let the river flow.
Adonai.
Yes, I really believe that there's a fresh wave of the Spirit that is coming, and it's going to start with individuals, and water flows to the level of lowest resistance, and you know, the least resistant people are the ones that get filled the most with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you to just let all the barriers down, be a person of low resistance, and just allow the Holy Spirit just to seep into your life and envelop you. You know, he doesn't just want to fill us, he wants to empower us for life. He doesn't want to just fill us for us, he wants to give us boldness to be witnesses for him. And we can get on the crest of the wave, we can ride that wave like you see the surface wave. When the Spirit comes, like you see the surfers ride, I should say, when the Spirit comes, we can go places, and it's exhilarating and it's exciting as we ride with God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't want to rush this time. We know time has gone past what we would normally do, but where you are now, just keep pressing in. We can turn off this channel now and just spend time with God if you wish. If you've been ministered to by somebody else in your family at this point in time, then continue to do that. Pastor Rachel's going to lead us in worship now. And as we do so, just keep pressing in. Jane has said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 50. Let your joy come, Lord. Yes, we agree in Jesus' name. Let's worship in song, and as we do so, just keep inviting the Holy Spirit. And if you've never spoken in tongues, what I would say to you is just open your mouth, let words come out during this worship song. Start with a word, start with one or two, and just see what God does. Don't be embarrassed. Just allow the Holy Spirit. He can do this. as easily in this room and in your room as if we were all together, but let him do that. So Pastor Rachel, would you just lead us now? Thank you. Holy Spirit. We don't seek you as for the gifts you give. We don't seek your hand to give us. Holy Spirit, we seek you. We seek your face. We seek your presence. We desire your presence, and I pray, Father, for a greater desire than we've ever had. Father, would you release through the Oasis family into our lives and through us to the lives of others to be encouragers for a greater move of your Spirit in these last days, in these days before you return for your church. Father, don't overlook us. Father, we need your presence. We need your Spirit. We pray, Lord, for a greater understanding of mission and for reaching out to others to be empowered by that. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life, to grow, and there to be an abundance of fruit in our life. We pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in your church through your people. We seek your face more than anything now. Help us in our weakness, in our lack of understanding. Help us, Lord, to make those times and to go into the secret closet and the secret place where it's just us, you and me. For me, it was riding my horse across fields and just spending time worshipping with you that allowed your Spirit just to keep coming upon me, healing my brokenness, my pain. Lord, for each of us, let us find that place. Father, I pray by the time we come back in in-person services that some mighty, amazing things have happened in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So, Oasis family and those that are connecting with you, it's been a great day. It's been a wonderful day. It's been a precious day. I'm so pleased that we've been able to engage and connect with you, and we want you to continue to do that. Next week, Joshua will be looking at the church, and we call it the Oasis family. We are family. We are family. And we're looking forward to that, and Joshua will be leading that discussion. On the back, I want to thank Mark Dengstam on sound. Well done, Mark. Martin on camera. Bernie on AV. Andrew and Esther for joining us. Pastor Rachel for leading us in some precious worship today. And for Simon on drums. You're fantastic. If you're at home, give them a round of applause. Thank them for the way that they serve. But you know, it's time now. Pick up the towel of service. We're starting to relaunch in many ways, and we're going to be encouraging to do things. We've got some exciting news coming in the next few weeks, which we'll be sharing with you, and we want to do that with you. But there'll be opportunities for you, and Pastor Rachel will be speaking the week after, opportunities for you to think about how you can serve God. Time to give your tithes and offerings through the bank. If you can do that now, that would be great. Please do that today. And have a fab day. May God richly bless you. Thank you so much.